Picking up kind of where we were last week, or not last week, but last time I was with you, and we were looking at, wanted to cover some points this evening. Some of this may seem basic, but I like basic, because basic, the more you go over basic truths, at some point the truth will dawn on us in a greater measure. The first step, and some of these things are very basic, but the first step in knowing God's will is, let's say in salvation or any of God's blessings and promises, is that the sick person needs to know what the Bible clearly promises and what it teaches, right? And we have to be convinced of that, and that it's God's will to heal you until what? Until you've lived out your full span of life here. So it is God's will. That's what Jesus paid for. And the point we're making is it's impossible to be convinced of something unless you know what God's will is. How can one have faith for something unless you know what God's will is? You have to be convinced of that. That's really what faith is. Faith is being convinced. Something that's promised, and I have to be absolutely convinced of that. And then that's what allows me to appropriate a promise of God. And usually you'll find the biggest barrier to individuals receiving healing in their bodies is not being fully convinced that it's God's will for them to be healed. They may know it. They may even quote it for you. But think about this. Faith, when we look at Romans chapter 10, it says one has to do what? That's the principle of faith. It says that you believe in your heart unto righteousness, and confession is made unto what? Salvation. So just believing something in your heart is not enough. You could believe in your heart that it's God's will for you to be healed. But that's not enough. It says, then confession is made unto salvation. Salvation meaning is the Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O. And that means preservation. It does mean salvation. But it also means healing. And so it's important to remember that we can't just stop at believing that it's God's will to heal me. I've got to say it. I've got to confess it. I've got to be convinced of that. And when somebody's convinced of something, they're saying it. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. What did she do? She said she heard of something. She heard of Jesus. And Mark chapter 5, why don't we turn over there and just look at that for a second. Mark chapter 5 and verse 27, or back up to verse 25, so you see the start of the Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. And it said, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And then it goes on, it says, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. But you can see she heard of Jesus, so she heard something. Somebody preached or shared something, and she must have believed. And again, a woman that was in that culture at that time, if she had blood or an issue of blood, she was considered in their society unclean. And under the law, she was considered unclean and was not allowed. And I don't, you know, I mean, when you go through Leviticus and you look at all of these things that they had to follow, I mean, she should not have been outside or come out of her house for a period of time until she was considered clean. And then I'm sure, I think part of it was she had to go show herself to the priest, and then there had to be sacrificing of things and the shedding of blood and all of that, which were really types and shadows of what Christ was going to become. But this said here, she heard something about Jesus. I'm sure that he was willing to heal and healed all who came to him. And what happened? She said she took off and left her house under the threat of their society of being stoned to death. She should have, under the law, been killed. Which is harsh, but that's just what it was. And so she had, would you say, she had to be convinced. She had to be not just believing, hearing something and believing, but what did she do? She acted upon what she believed. She was so convinced that it was God's will for her to be healed. That Jesus, she heard that Jesus healed, she must have heard that he healed all that came to him. So she left the confines of her home, her house, under the threat in her society of being unclean and being stoned to death, and went to Jesus. And actually, if you read some of the more modern translations, when it said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole," it says she kept saying. She kept saying. Well, that's a profession of something you believe. And so it's, you know, you can see here that believing is not enough. There's got to be a profession of what we believe. And so faith begins where the will of God is known. We've heard this, but appropriating faith is not believing that God can, but that he will. If I'm in faith, it's not just that he can do it, he will do it. He will heal me. Why? Based on the blood of Jesus, based on the sacrifice of Jesus, that if he doesn't heal all and he just heals some, see, then there's no basis for faith. Because how do you know that you're the one that he may heal? How do you know that? You wouldn't know that unless by revelation he showed you, you're the lucky one today. I'm going to heal just you today, or these five. How would you know in a room if I said, "I've got $1,000 I want to give somebody"? How would you know you're the one? You wouldn't. Unless I said, "I'm going to give you the money. You come up here." Well, then you know. But if I said, "I'm going to give everybody in this room X amount of money," you heard it from my mouth. I'm going to give everybody. So you have faith that I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Would you not? Because I said everybody. And so if Jesus, if Paul said by revelation he became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ, and Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, then we're redeemed. And we have to take that as his will, his word, right? So faith must rest upon God's word and the will of God alone. It can't rest on our desires, can't rest on our wants. It has to rest on strictly the Word of God alone, because that's His will. His will and His Word are one. What is Matthew 8:17? That it might be what? Fulfilled. Matthew 8:17. That it might be what? Fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Right? So this was under the old covenant. This is talking about Jesus, right? Isaiah 53. This is what he was referencing. So you can see that if, you know, with those that are taking notes, Isaiah 53, verses 3, 4, and 5. Let me read it. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Actually, when it says he was despised, that word despised means rejected. He was rejected of men. Verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs. That word griefs is sicknesses. And carried our sorrows, that's pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And of course, this is under the old. This is looking forward, or you could say, this is looking forward towards the cross. And Paul was looking back at the cross, when he said, Christ hath redeemed us. He's looking back at what was done. And Isaiah is looking forward to what was going to be done. So you can see this. Now, I'm just going to quote a couple of excerpts from I didn't bring it with me, but Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. This is what he wrote, just a sentence here, which I think is significant. He said, since it is our infirmities he bore, it requires the healing of all to fulfill this prophecy. Because he did what? He healed our infirmities. That's what Matthew said. He said, himself took our infirmities. Our is inclusive of everyone, all, isn't it? Our infirmities, and bear our sicknesses. So this is what he said. Since it is our infirmities he bore, it requires the healing of all to fulfill this prophecy. God put this in such language that we would have to misquote it to leave ourselves out. He says, our includes all. Right? In order to have steadfast faith for the healing of your body, you must get rid of all uncertainty concerning God's will to heal your body. You've got to be absolutely convinced. There's no uncertainty in your mind or your heart, that it's God's will to heal you. That's where we have to be. And that comes by what? What we've been teaching on Sundays, that comes by planting the seed of God's word in your heart and watering it so that it produces a harvest. What is the harvest? A harvest of faith, a harvest of healing. And then this is another sentence here he has in his book here. He said, God's way of saving the soul, of healing the body, and of doing everything else he wants to do is to send his word, his promise, and then keep the promise wherever it produces faith. That's a strong statement. So God watches over his word to perform it. He brings it to pass where it produces faith. So we have to believe the word of God. It produces faith. What does faith do? Faith begins to believe it in its heart. Faith comes when you believe it in your heart. But then you have to do what? Act upon it. You've got to speak what you believe. You know, isn't it an interesting thing? Just think about this for a moment. If somebody said you received something, let's say a gift, in the natural, you don't necessarily require proof that you received it. Most of us will just say, praise God, oh, wonderful, I won a gift, right? You don't demand proof that you received it. Why is it that God says, you've received a gift, and we demand proof that it's so? Isn't that backwards? I mean, we don't demand, if your boss said, I'm giving you a raise, you don't say, well, you prove that to me. Prove that you're giving me this. And then God, in his word, which is eternal and forever settled in heaven, has said, you're my children if you've received Christ. You're in the body of Christ, and I've healed your body. I've saved your soul. Prove to me that I'm going to heaven. Prove to me, God, that I'm healed. Prove to... What? See, that's not faith. That's not faith. Faith believes the word of God because they know that God is the beginning and the end. He is God. And he cannot lie. He's without variableness or shadow of turning. James chapter 1. So God, when he speaks a word, we are to do what? Believe it. And we do what? We don't demand that he prove to me that his word is so. I believe his word. And when I believe his word and I decree it, then it becomes so. It becomes so. So the divine procedure, you could say, in healing is stated in this text, Psalm 107, verse 20. He sendeth his word and healeth them and delivereth them from the grave. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12. See, this here gives us what we're talking about here. This is what supports this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. Says that we would what? That we would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Look at verse 13. It says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye did what? You received proof. No. It says, when you received what? The word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which does what? Effectually worketh also in you that do what? Believe. So the word of God will effectually work in you when you receive it as the word of God and you believe it. It says here, which effectually works in you that do what? Believe. We have to believe. And then once you believe, the first act of our faith really is, what does it say? You believe unto righteousness, and with the what? The mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Which actually, that word salvation is sozo, that Greek word. That also means healing and deliverance. So, you know, as they say, your healing and your deliverance is in your mouth. You believe in your heart and you speak with your mouth what you believe. Now, you know, here's sometimes I think when people get somewhat tripped up. You know, I was sharing this morning. I'll share it again. You know, all of us face situations in life, some more impossible than others, you know, but we face what I would call obstacles, right? And part of this lesson tonight, I wanted to just share that if you go over to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, and look at verse 26. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. You know, God didn't leave us here, just he left us with his word. He sent his word, and it's for our salvation. But he knew in that alone, he sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, as it says here. But look at verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, also what? Helpeth. Say helpeth. Helpeth. He helpeth our what? Infirmities. So that means we need some help. That's what that boils down to. He knew we'd need some help. I like what, and it goes on. It says, helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, or you could say the Holy Spirit's a person, himself, maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. So when it comes to believing the Word of God, where healing is concerned, we believe the Word of God, but you cannot believe the Word of God and leave out the leading or direction of the Holy Spirit. You can't leave him out of that equation. We believe and we're convinced of the Word of God. I receive it and I take my healing in my body. And then you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and direct you. He leads each one of us differently because we're all different. We come from different settings, different conditions, different situations. We're all different. And so, this is what some of the other translations say. It says, Romans 8:26 in the Bible in Basic English, it said, the Spirit puts our desires into words which are not in our power to say. See? And the New English Bible, it says, we do not even know how we ought to pray or what is right to pray for or what it is right to pray for. But through our inarticulate groans, the Spirit himself is pleading for us. The Johnson it's a more of a paraphrase translation, says, we also have the Spirit who compensates for our inadequacies. See, you only know as much as what you can see. You ever think about this? If you didn't have a sense of smell, and I opened a bottle of perfume, just because you can't smell it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But it's there. You can see it, but you can't smell it. So you can't go and say, well, just because I can't smell it, you can't smell it with your ears. So not having proof of something by our five senses doesn't make that a case that something doesn't exist, you see. So the point I'm saying is you can only know so much based on what we see, smell, taste, touch. But even with that, you may not know something. And you only know as much as you know. We're limited. We're inadequate to know everything. But thank God, He sent the Spirit of God to do what? Help us in our inadequacies. But thank God when we get, when Jesus returns, we'll have a what? A new body. And it says we'll know even as we are known. So we won't be limited. But right now we are. We're inadequate to know everything and to pray accurately about everything. So when it comes to healing, the Scripture is true. Himself took our infirmities, and He did what? It says He bare our sicknesses. That means mine. But I have to include the Holy Spirit in the equation of me taking the Word of God, because He may say, I want you to do this. I want you to fix this. He may know something about you that you don't know, or maybe you've pushed aside. He may say to you, you know what? You need to forgive that person over there. That's blocking your healing. And you might be thinking, really? I didn't know that. Okay. See, so that's why I say the Holy Spirit, who authored this book, inspired the writers, He knows it. He's the one that's here to do what? Execute it. So he's like having a lawyer here for us and saying, this is what you need to do. So we have to include Him in all that we do. And, I was sharing this morning, you know, when we face seemingly impossible things, we can't, there's no way you could fix it. There's no way you could push a button, you know, boop, and fix it. There's no way you can do it. I mean, you're like stuck, you know what I mean? And stuck in a situation. I remember when I first came to this ministry, came here. I've been part of the ministry for a while, a little bit, and then came on staff. And I remember, you know, talking about an impossible situation for me. I was in an automobile accident. And I was being sued for over $250,000. That was a lot of money. This is a long time ago. So it was really a lot of money back then. And so I was like, oh my God, I'm done. I'm cooked. You know, I mean, like, what, there's nothing you could push. You couldn't pick up the hotline. You need to pick up the hotline to heaven. And so I literally was trying to do my job here, and my mind is going, you know, tilt, and you're trying to keep focused, and you're just like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I really thought, it's it. You know, you will never have anything. If you get sued for that, you're toast. And so I'm sitting at my desk, and I'm telling you, this is why I say you've got to have the Holy Ghost involved and listen. So I'm sitting at my desk, and right up in my spirit, right down here, this is what came up. I didn't know it was there. I may have read it once or twice, but I'm telling you, it was as clear as I'm talking right now. Came right up. I heard it. This is what I heard. Malachi 3:10, I didn't hear that, but I heard this. Heard the Holy Spirit, literally quoting this scripture. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, If I will not open up the windows of heaven unto you and pour out you out a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Man, I'm telling you, when I heard that, I said, I'm a tither and consistent. I jumped up off my desk. He's not going to rebuke me. He's not going to destroy me. God is going to rebuke the devourer on my behalf. I'm telling you, because when you are faced with something that impossible, that's why I'm telling you, when it comes to healing, you could have gotten some report from the doctor that says, I'm sorry, Mr. Jones, we've done everything we know to do. You need to, you know, speak to your pastor, speak to, you know, make arrangements, because you're going to die. Well, at that point, you know, it could mess with your mind. But I'm telling you, we have the Word of God, and then the Holy Spirit can reveal something to you and say, no, you're not going to die. And think about it, that's exactly what may have happened to the woman with the issue of blood. She was stuck in society. She had spent all that she had, and it said what? She rather grew worse. She was stuck in a seemingly what? Impossible situation. But she heard of Jesus. She heard something that Jesus said. If you come to him, he'll heal you. Well, boy, she must have believed it. She got up out of her house and made her way to Jesus and pressed. You know, I was over to Jerusalem a few times, and one time we went through the old city. It's like Times Square at midnight. I'm not joking. It was just a mash of people. And I could just, when we went through, I said, I could just imagine when it says she pressed her way through the crowd to get to Jesus. And the disciples said, what do you mean, who touched me? Everybody's touching you. But she touched, what we just got done reading? God sent his word and healed them. He watches over his word where it produces faith. Where it produces faith. So just believing is not enough. I've got to believe it and then begin to say, and this is what happened to me. It wasn't enough for just the Holy Spirit to reveal that to me. I shouted. I was up there doing a little dance in my office. I'm serious. Because my mind at that point, I thought, I'm cooked. I'm stuck. This is not going down good. And he said, you're a tither. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. So here's what I did. I took that word, that revelation to my spirit, which is in the Word of God. I just didn't pull a scripture out, but it was something that he revealed to my heart, and faith was produced. But what did I do? I acted on it. I'll tell you what I did. From that moment forward, I started to say with my mouth, every day, all through the day, thank you, Father, I am a tither. I bring my tithes into the storehouse, and you promised me that you'd open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing that I could hardly contain, and you said that you'd rebuke the devourer for my sake. I'm not going down. I'm going up, and this is going to work out, and I said, you're going to rebuke the devourer for my sake. Now, I had to go through all the natural stuff for the next 6-8 months, deposition, all the stuff that happens. It went to Supreme Court. And at that time, you know, when you had a vehicle, I put on what I could afford. It was the minimum, $50,000-$100,000. Well, they saw fit to sue me way over and above. So in the natural sense of things, your car insurance would have never covered that. That's why today people have 100, 300, or they have a million on their car. That's just what they do. We do it here. Because we're a church, and people do dumb stuff. Not that we're expecting to be in an accident, but you don't want to be exposed. Then we have other umbrella policies that cover us. So I'm just saying that what happened was I didn't have to go, and here's what happened. They said, oh, no, you don't need to come to court. This is in session this week. I got a letter 2 or 3 weeks after. They settled it under the basic limits of that car insurance policy, which was, I don't know how they did it. Don't ask me. But I tell you what, God honored his word, and it said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. What did I have to do? Not just believe what he spoke, but I had to say it. I had to say it. And I'm telling you, that 6-8 months was not easy. It messed with my mind. It messed with my mind. Every time the thoughts would come, this is not working, blah, 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 blah. I just get up and say, nope, God's word says. This wasn't about feeling, because I tell you, my flesh didn't feel comfortable going through the process. It did not feel comfortable. But I was convinced that I heard God speak to me, and he said, I will rebuke the devourer. That's no different. You could get a bad report. That doesn't mean you don't go to the doctor. That doesn't mean you don't do things. But what you do is you believe in your heart and you say with your mouth what you believe. And it has to change. It's got to change. Keep going through the process. Nobody said it was comfortable. This is about getting results. This is what we were talking about. Where we are talking about in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, when it says, what is good ground? A good ground is that with a good and honest heart does what? Receives the word and sticks with it until there's a harvest. If the doctor prescribes medicine, take the medicine. You know, this is the thing that people get in the ditch over. They just say, well, I believe God. I don't believe what the doctor said. Okay, well, that's your prerogative. But I just say this. Don't go out and I don't want to say act foolish. If God gives you a special revelation and says to you, don't do X, Y, Z that they're telling you to do, then so be it. But I'm going to tell you right now, I mean, just think. You all have heard of Mark Hankins, right? His wife had a brain tumor. And they didn't, you know, she had fainted. And then when, you know, she was at a meeting and they fainted, when they took her in, they ran all the tests and they found she had a big mass in her brain. Well, they were going to do brains, so they were going to take it out. He cursed it. He commanded, he said, by the blood of Jesus, I curse this thing and my wife. And they got an agreement. She still went in to have the brain surgery. She still went in to have that. When they opened her up, they couldn't find it. See, don't act foolish, because some people will ignore a doctor's diagnosis. Doing and following the doctor or not following the doctor is not what gets you healed. It's the word of God, believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth unto salvation, unto healing. Now, if God gives you direction to do that, then that's fine. But don't get up and tell people, you know, a certain thing. The scripture is very clear. What does it say? The word of God that we've heard, he says, we receive it not as the word of men, but of God, which does what? Effectually works in us that believe. But what we believe, we need to do what? Speak. You know, I always tell this story, you know, this family that used to be here years ago. As a matter of fact, this is another family. The Bo family was, she texted me recently. They were a part of this ministry for a great while and then relocated to Tulsa area. But the Warwick family, I mean, Jessica had a pump. She had, I forget what stage diabetes she had, must have been type 2. But she had to wear a pump. You know, some people, they go for shots or they do various types of methods for assistance. But she had to wear a pump on her and it was injecting her, you know, however it did that. And when she went out, they relocated, went out to the Broken Arrow area, and we're part of the Rhema ministry. And she was going through Rhema Bible College for 2 years, and every day after, because they go for 3 to 4 hours a day, they go from 8:30 to 12, or at 12:30, I think. So it's 3 or 4 hours a day they go. And then at like 1 o'clock, they have prayer and healing school that they open to the public. She went every day. Every day, every day for 2 years. And we were out there, you know, not too long ago. We saw, you know, her dad. And I said, you know, how's everything going? And we just talked for a little bit. And I said, how's Jess doing? And he said, well, he said, praise God. Her pancreas just started working. They just started working. They just started to work. They just started to work. They don't just start to work unless there's a hand of God and a miracle involved. So she don't use the pump anymore because she kept getting the word. She kept watering the seed that was planted, kept watering it, and I'm sure was speaking what she believed. And you get enough of the life of God in you, it'll change you. And so That was the exciting thing. So, you know, we say all of that to say we've got to believe in our heart and speak with our mouth that which we believe. Whether it's some obstacle you're faced with in life, he sent the Holy Spirit in John. Let me just read that in John 16. You can turn over there, John 16 and verse 13. John 16, 13, it says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will what? He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and do what? Show it unto you. John 16 and verse 14 in the Moffat translation says, he will draw upon what is mine and disclose it to you. That's revealing. So he'll disclose something to you from the Scripture that you've read 100 times. He'll reveal the truth to you. That's what causes faith. Rhema, an enlightenment of the word, something you've been reading along. I mean, all of us in life have had an aha moment. We picked up the word of God. I remember years ago my sister saying, my God, it's been in there all along. I started reading it and it was like everything came alive. I said, well, praise God. You know, that's rhema. That's enlightenment from the Holy Ghost. And so we cannot go beyond, you know, or let's say it this way, you know, you receive the word of God, but you've got to include the leading of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that does what? Reveals the truth. We only know so much. And so we, you know, if we include him, then we'll be all right. Amen. Praise God. So this We just got a few minutes left here. So the other is the first step here in what we talk about appropriating faith is to absolutely be convinced of something from the Word of God. And the second step would be to make sure that you're right with God. So the first is absolutely being convinced that it's God's will. And we took that a long time here talking about Matthew 8:17. Himself took what? All of our infirmities, and he bore our sicknesses. So we need to make sure that we're right with God, because the redemptive blessings of God are conditional. They're conditional. James 5:16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the reason we say that is because if you go over to the book of Romans, it talks about your heart being condemned or having a sense of guilt that you can't have confidence towards God. Your heart has to be clear. It has to be a conscience free of offense, right? James chapter 4, it says in verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil. So you see here, you can't resist the devil. You've got to be submitted to God. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So all of that, what's required is that we're submitted unto God. And if you think about it, when you look at the Old Testament, when we were talking about Deuteronomy 28, it said that these blessings will come upon you if you do what? Hearken unto my voice. What does that mean? You're obeying him. You're submitted unto him. And all of these blessings would be afforded you. But if you don't obey me, then from the permissive side, you open yourself up to get beat up by your enemy. That's what that means. So faith always implies obedience. This was another quote by another minister in this book on healing, F.F. Bosworth. This was written by this gentleman, Reverend Gavin Duffy. He said, faith, you see, is the union of our hearts and wills with God's will and purpose. So I read that again. He said, faith, you see, is the union of our hearts and wills with God's will and purpose. And where this unity is lacking, results are impossible. So he said, where the unity is lacking, results are impossible, because your will is not submitted to his will. And that's what we just got done showing here. Submit yourself, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. He said, this is a very important spiritual law to which in our times we have been woefully blind. Proverbs 3:7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. See? It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So the Lord is, if you can go through and find all these scriptures in the Bible, he's saying, we have to be submitted unto him and do what? Depart from evil. Psalm 84:11, it says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. See? Here's some other scriptures. Proverbs 14:30. It says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. The Amplified in that, it says, a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. But envy, jealousy, and wrath are like rottenness of the bones. This is a reference or a statement by F.F. Bosworth in his book, Christ the Healer. He said this, substitution without union is not sufficient for our possession and enjoyment of the life of the vine. In other words, you have got to be, well, let me continue what he said. We enjoy the life of the vine by our perfect union with the vine. Asking for healing while refusing to be led by the Spirit is like asking a carpenter to repair the house while refusing to let him in the house. You've got to let him in. You've got to let him lead you and guide you. And so he's just saying here, substitution without union is not sufficient for our possession and enjoyment of the life of the vine. So we have to actually be submitted. And what is that? What does the scripture say? It says we have to be and stay connected to the vine. That's what that means. Glory to God. So here, I'll just finish this here. Matthew 14 and 36. Let me just jump over here. Matthew 14, 36. Well, back up to verse 34. Matthew 14, 34. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. So they besought him, just let us touch the hem of your garment. And he said, okay. And as many as touched him were made perfectly whole. So there cannot be, you know, when we talk about this statement here, you cannot touch him with a reservation. In other words, there cannot be a reservation on your part to touch or take or receive from God. Therefore, like the woman who pressed through, the woman with the issue of blood, there was no reservation on her part. There was no thought on her part, maybe he won't. She was convinced that he would. So we have to be likewise convinced that it's God's will to heal me, and then make sure we're right with God, make sure that there's nothing hindering me from receiving. And the main thing is to make sure you walk in love and you love God with all your heart. And let the Holy Spirit, if there's something that needs to be fixed, he will let you know. Don't try to make up stuff, you know. You know, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you if you need to fix something. But key is, if you believe in your heart, it's not enough. You're going to have to believe in your heart and do what? Say it with your mouth. You're going to have to speak something with your mouth. You know, you think about this. If somebody gifted you a trip, you ain't quiet about it. You're going to tell everybody who's your friend and some of your enemies. You're going to say, hey, I want a trip. We're going to such and such. Think about it. You tell a little child, you say, hey, Bobby, we're going, or Sue, or whoever it is, right? You tell some little child, maybe it's your child, surprise, We're going to Disneyland. Man, you forget about it. Are we going tomorrow? No, we're going in a month. They're telling all their friends, we're going to Disneyland. Or we're doing something, right? They believed you, and they're telling everybody. Well, how much more? We believe the word of God, and we speak it and confess with our mouth, I believe what he's written in his word. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.